Today's talk is on LaTeX. I have a question. How many people know what LaTeX is? How many people actually use LaTeX? How many people feel like they can actually help me?
Maybe.
Okay, two people. You two are like my deputies because I need you to help me. LaTeX is, tech in general is like this. My view is this. So, I will give you, I may say things that are incorrect because I've only done moderate experimentation. So I have some handouts here. So it turns out that I could have actually used this projector thing that was here, and I can't because they took it. So we are now officially in a depression because anything that isn't nailed down has to be hidden, which is pretty pathetic. Unless, of course, it's a 17-inch monitor, flat panel, not melt down, folded in. I was right. All right, so. So, in case you're wondering what this is all about or how I know anything about this, it's really simple. I wrote a book, and I knew enough to know that you want to use some kind of publishing language when you write a book, because trying to do it in the word processor is probably possible, but most likely stupid. And I didn't really want people to call me stupid, so, as they say, official alumna, don't call me stupid! There will be literary references throughout this talk, because, it's about, in a way, it's about me and writing. So, and since I'm talking about that, this is a copy of my book. Yes. Thank you. I've been pushing this on you guys forever, but it's actually in context here. This stuff, a lot of the code in these pages is what actually generated this. And it seems like I've got somewhat of a speed advantage in making adjustments because I'm using LaTeX. I can literally go in there and go and change one little thing here, one little thing there, as I discover they come out poorly on Lulu. This has actually like already been 6 revisions since this printing, and that was a week ago. So it's slowing down, don't worry, go ahead and buy it, it'll be readable. It's been readable throughout, so. So this is originally was just an idea. This was I wanted to write a story. So I asked a Linux nerd, because I hadn't really used LaTeX before that, what do I do? How do I get started? What do I need to know before I write the book so I don't screw myself and format things in a way that is totally useless? Put it in a text file. Okay. And am I using markup language? No. Am I using tags? No. What am I doing? Every time you want a line break, you put a line break. That's it. Literally, all you do is open up a text file. And one caveat here, there cannot be garbage in this text file. It must really just be text. There cannot be extra characters. So I want to turn source on in VI before you try to actually run LaTeX, because you will regret it. I had that happen. There's a junk character in front of my file when I was originally creating it. And the only reason I really realized it is because I cut and pasted it into another file. And it worked. And I'm like, well, why the hell did that work? And it's because it was junk character in the beginning.
The same applies that if you're doing text files and you're using international characters, anything in Unicode, turn off the byte order mark. Because that's going to be garbage data and it's going to screw up the rest of your file.
The byte order mark?
Yeah, it's the first character where it's FFEF or FFFE in order to determine who.
Just curious, what text editor do you use?
I'm using straight up Emacs. It could be anything as simple as...
Can you ask Emacs to tell you, to show you where it is in Emacs?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
It's under one of the options.
You usually do it through the menu?
Yeah, you have to go through the whole internationalization menu. It's a pain in the butt.
Okay.
But that's how you get...
But you can get it to show you, and then you'll be able to see if one of those...
Yeah, you can save it without that byte order mark as well.
Okay.
EBEdit users also be careful because it'll throw in a byte order mark. That's easier.
So I was pretty blown away with the simplicity of it. So basically, you're just writing whatever you want to write, and then you hit enter once, and then you hit enter again, and then you write the next paragraph. Basically, a blank line with an enter on it is what represents a paragraph break. And literally, that's all you need to do to know to generate, if you're going to take a long time generating content, to generate your content for later. The rest of it is all the normal characters are pretty much treated as is. Well, okay, there's a few exceptions. Because, of course, we need some kind of control code in here to tell it what to do special things. I mean, there's a lot of different things to go into. And this is something important here. This is not just, LaTeX is a typesetting language. It's a language oriented around arranging text of all different languages, including right to left languages, and including the language of mathematics. You know, it's a big deal for people who do type up math papers and pay anywhere from $50 to several hundred bucks for a packet for Word, just so they can put symbols in their work. Like the integration sign, things, you know, that follow the bizarre syntax that sometimes you get when you have divide by lines and stuff like that. And you basically tell it to make, you give it codes and then you tell it, okay, I want one of these here, and I want one of that there. And typically, the way the code works is slash some command and then input. The input is in curly braces. This format will come up over and over and over again. So, what's the first thing you realize when you look at that? Of course, if you think about it, what does this mean about at least one character in the ASCII set?
Slash.
Yeah, slash is trouble. So you have to put a double. You have to put is it a double slash?
No, double slash gives you a new line.
No, double slash gives you a new line. I actually figured that out yesterday. So that's how. Right. Inverse slash to get a slash?
No, you get around it by going into math mode. So you do $/$. Another option is to use a package called text composition, and you type in text ASCII /
Right. As it turns out, there were absolutely zero slashes in my book.
You're lucky now.
So, I actually did not run into this, so I don't know what that means. Now there's an addendum to this sum command curly brace input curly brace. Sometimes you can give input to your input for sum command. In which case, before the curly braces, you would have square braces. So you would put arguments and then input to sum command. Maybe I was simplifying that a little. That comes up the most. You guarantee you'll see it when you load libraries the same way as in you would load libraries into C, or you would load libraries into Perl, or anything like that. You have to load libraries here too. So that's what this is most often used with the square bracket for. It's used a lot for annotation, bold text, italics, things like that, outside of that scope. So, probably, I also, you know, I kind of lied. You may not want to do this right away. You can use just whatever commenting scheme you want to, like, say, annotate a chapter. But later on, you're going to want to change it to a slash chapter curly brace, and that's a universal LaTeX or tech thing. It should work anywhere. I'm actually using a special package which reinterprets some of this stuff, so I'm not sure where the interpretation lies. But you can also, for instance, you can give chapter an argument in the finale, you know, or the beginning, or something like that. I didn't name my chapters, but let's see. You can also do emphasis, EMPH, and in my case, I used a special library called SFFMS, which is a science fiction and fantasy manuscript. Pretty sure. And basically what that does is it makes up a bunch of assumptions about your LaTeX. It has a bunch of pre-settings. People will do this often. One of the things that I haven't specifically mentioned yet is I've actually run into this outside and been completely perplexed until I had to do my own thing with it. Scientists use this a lot. So this is pretty much the de facto scientific document creation method. So anytime you read a journal or something like that, 9 out of 10 of those things are going to be created with some version of tech. Just because it's the most versatile and it's just created a community and it perpetuates itself. I have seen postdocs eaten alive by LaTeX. So, you know, it can get hairy. Yes?
You mentioned tech, but LaTeX is a... Well, I guess what's the relation between the
two? Well, tech was a standard, almost. It was a program, but it was also a standard of typesetting. I guess it was... it's like Tomcat, it's the implementation, what's the word for it?
The simplest way to really explain it is tech is a very low-level typesetting language, and they get this kind of nicified wrapper around it.
So it's like the difference?
It's like ASCII versus assembly.
It's like VI versus Vim, to some degree, or I'm being too high-level there.
I would say it's more like assembly versus C.
Right. So it really, tech is like a
HTML
low-level.
Versus a front page.
No.
No?
No. It's the difference between, the best example was given, assembler versus C. Because you can express many things very quickly in C that would take you lines and lines and lines and lines and lines of assembly to figure out. So LaTeX is more of a C wrap-up around assembly.
Right. But and that's like, I don't know if anybody was using tech directly.
There may be,
but
LaTeX tends to be what everybody uses.
I mean, it did come first, so I think if you know somebody wanted to go to the beginning or it's been around for a while doing this stuff, they're probably going to be using tech. But LaTeX been for the duration of my scientific computing career, I only run into LaTeX. So, or weird thing on Windows that I'm not even going to talk about here. But there's LaTeX on Windows. So. All right, so there's another thing too, and this really screwed me because I didn't realize until I actually compiled. Hyphens have special meaning. If you want to have a hyphen, you got to have a double hyphen. Now, these weird little exceptions, there are two strategies you can take. If you know these things when you go into writing something, you can do them as you go. That is the preferable ideal way. You don't have to do that, but it could get confusing, particularly in my case for thought, because you know fiction novels are riddled with thoughts. So trying to go through after the fact and add thoughts in is usually inconsistent and bad. But your problem might be dashes. Your problem might be emphasis. Your problem might be bold or italic or something like that. So you might want to think about it ahead of time and whether your strategy is just to do a search and replace. Because it's some kind of recognizable pattern on your file after the fact, or if you want to add these things in as you go. Okay, so I put this all together, and I said, okay, well, now I have a tech file. You know, what do I do? I don't know. So, I'm actually going to jump ahead a little bit.
Compile it, right?
Compile it.
Sort of.
Very last page. Basically, you just need to get a few programs. I gave you the Debian version because I'm lazy, and I want to tell you the RPM version, and the Windows version, and the Mac version. You know, I should probably do that stuff because whatever, it's Lilo.
Just tug.org. And they'll have everything there.
Fortunately, I'm giving this talk here, not someplace else. So. But basically, you need TayTex Base, TextLive, LaTeX Extra, and TextInfo. Pretty much, it looks, there are about a billion LaTeX packages, for instance, in Debian. So if you, there's two ways to approach this. You either take my advice and just try this to start with. We actually did this on a raw system to see if this would, there's more packages, but this will fulfill all the dependencies to get the work done. You can also, when you install Linux, if you install the publishing suite, that will install enough that you can get going. So, and that could be easier to click on publishing. So, in my case, when I first compiled the book, SFFMS was not available in the LaTeX libraries. I had to go and grab what is known as a .cls file, and I had to drop it in the directory I was working in, because it does look in your current directory. Don't laugh, because the instructions on the net don't tell you to do that. The instructions on the net tell you to put it in directory, 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 and it doesn't work. What I found later, after doing some digging, is you just drop it in your current directory. So I probably saved you some time there, too. People are really like almost guildish with this stuff. So, I mean, literally, I've never gotten a scientist to give me a straight explanation. All this stuff I figured out myself, and I'm expressing to you. So, I mean, they do this basically for a living, so kind of sad. Not very scientific and community-like. So, basically, there's a command that you run. It's not in here, but I bet it's up on that website. But you only need to know this one command, so it's not that bad.
Also, we didn't move too much.
I think this is it. Please stop me from that.
Oops.
Correct.
And probably the reason I didn't put it in my paperwork is because I was rushed when I put it together. And it's the most obvious thing you'll do, because you'll keep doing this over and over and over. I wanted to generate a PDF. There are other commands. This command actually does a bunch of different things, including it compiles it into the compiled text format, and then it generates a PDF from that. It creates a log file, it creates an auxiliary file, it creates, there's another one too, I forgot the name of it. DVI file?
Yeah, DVI master.
And then it creates a PDF. If everything goes well, it won't go well the first time, especially if it's more than a few pages. You're gonna miss something, it's gonna be a bug. So, you're going to get to introduce to the joys that no running tech directory first won't save you from this, of the tech debugger. It will give you a bunch of lines of junk, and in there will be a meaningful line, and then it'll drop you a prompt that doesn't help you at all. I think it's X to get out. Just get out.
X or Q. Look. Just keep hitting it until you get out.
Just get X, 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 X. X, Q, X, Q, X, Q, whatever. Control C. Big red button.
Control C won't work.
Yeah, is this like having used like Navios? And it, in my opinion, that's the perfect debugging response. Write something sensible to the logs. Only write checkpoints when things are going well, but write details when things are going badly after you first say the thing that went badly. You know, very sensible. This, not so sensible. Blah, what happened? And unfortunately, it's also like C in that if if you miss a curly brace, like somewhere, and then like you get an error 400 lines above it, and you don't know why. Well, that's exactly the same kind of thing here. You're wrong. The parser, if you're missing any control brackets, the parser will get bewildered. So you may have some trouble. But hopefully it'll be enough that you'll figure it out. I managed to figure it out each time. So, and you'll go in and change the thing, and then you'll try again. Don't worry about cleaning up your old files that it generates. It'll just open right there, which is also kind of important if you have a file there. So that's basically the gist of how to compile your file. Now, of course, if you did it with the stuff that I gave you up at top here, it wouldn't work. I lied to you. There's more. You actually have to put a few header lines in it. In my case, I had to put a lot because I'm using SFFMS, and I started adding in a lot of settings. One of the things you want to keep in mind is, and this is something that I didn't ever really think about, you have to pick what format, what shape, what kind of paper you want to be printing to. Because this, since it's a typesetting language, it expects to frame things in terms of a piece of paper. You can change that. As a matter of fact, that's one of the beauties of this, is that you can literally change your paper like this by changing it. But if you don't know it's doing that, and you don't think about it in those terms, when you try to recompile, you're going to have a little bit of a problem. I actually ran into this. I never really thought about the fact that SFMMS defaults, because it's a manuscript, it's actually meant, it's meant to have a production novel generated from it, but it's also meant to generate agent compliant or publisher compliant manuscripts, which they're really persnickety. So of course, you know, persnickety editorial work is the kind of thing you want a computer to do. So you do something like this language and this library in LaTeX, and then you send it, they have nothing to complain about. So they can reject you on your merits. So the default in that is 8.5 by 11, because of course, you know, if you've ever seen a script in a movie, I love movies about movies, or movies about books. No, I really don't, I think it's annoying. But you probably have seen one of them and seen somebody walking around with a giant pile of papers this thick. You know, they're 8.5 by 11. So the default is 8.5 by 11. When I actually tried to upload this on the Lulu, it wouldn't take it. I didn't know why at first. It doesn't tell you. Lulu's good in that you can try and try and try and try until you get it right. The bad thing is it doesn't really tell you. So, little advice about Lulu. But they do have online help, but I just couldn't. I was too proud to use it. So once I figured that out, that's actually, I'm trying to find where that is. Okay, for some reason I used package geometry twice here. I think this was this LaTeX code.
Second use is common.
Oh, okay. Second use is common. Right. No, I used it three times.
What? Okay. No, you use package set margins and redefine.
No. Okay. You know, I did comment it. Okay. This code actually works, by the way. So that gives you an idea. Usually I'm neater than this. I didn't really think about the fact that people would be examining this. This is not the code that's up on their website. That's the code for the PDF that you see that you can download from Thicker Than Blood book. This is the code that I use for Lulu. So, which I'll probably, I actually have a group of scripts that I do all this, that I had to run. It's like, it's at least 100 line script now that I do all this processing on it to generate the different kinds of files, you know, a submission format, a non-submission format, and that's one of the concepts in SFMMS, and it gives you an idea of the kind of thing you can do with a library, is that you can literally block pieces of tech code together and say, well, if in this case, use this, and in this case, use this, and then have basically the document will come out differently depending on what kind of document you generate. So you start to see the possibilities.
Just to give a good example, because I've done this, I had one piece of LaTeX that I was writing out, and one of the people who was going to be reading it was reading it from abroad, and they don't have US paper, they've got A4 paper. And the guy has a site problem, so you can easily increase the size of the font and just change the paper without having to reformat everything all over again. So you just send them the same file and change that one line on the document class, and the computer handles everything for you.
It gotta happen. So one of the things, the very first thing that I did here in my LaTeX code was to declare a document class. And of course, my document class is SFMS. I'm not entirely sure you have to do this, or if you do, you have to do it. I'm not sure what the default library is. Is there one? Do we know what this
there
is?
There is none. There
what?
Is none.
Can you just do it with blank curly braces and it work?
You would use article. That's the most
article, okay.
General purpose,
okay. But I think there's also a book one, too.
There's book, article, report, letter, and I think there is a blank, but that's part of the package that you have to add on later.
Right. And again, you know, the reason that I use this and I've been focused on this is because I want to be able to generate multiple versions of the document at the same time, and I kind of chickened out and said, I'm going to trust these guys to come up with the persnickety margin requirements of different you know, people that are submitted to. But of course, actually, the truth is I should take this out because I've given up on submitting. I've decided that the publishing industry is actually the best of the copyright industries, and it's not evil or bad, but isn't necessary for me. I started going through the submission process, and did some rites of passage in pain in sending out submissions, and I looked at it and went, I'm too lazy for this. This is not the nerd way. There's got to be an easier way. So I'm going the Lulu way, and I figure if my content's good, I'll succeed in it. So, and I'm probably wrong. I'm prepared to be wrong. So, but so this may actually be moot at this point, because the whole point of this is to submit it to things, contests. Different publishers have different standards. There are names of standards. If you actually go download the PDF when I said MMS, there's a way to set which one. In fact, if you put it right where it says non-submission, which is the thing I use to generate the PDFs you see on the website. I didn't set a title. I used the novel setting, and I put 10 point. That was another Luluism. Originally, when I wrote this book, the one I have here is 324 pages. This is using 12-point font, which is kind of ridiculous and maybe even childish in a book this size. It's really unnecessary. Their printing is very clear. So I'm going to be stopping that, and I made a 10-point font. But you have to explicitly say that, that didn't used to be there. Some of the things in SFMS, I think these are shared with the book class in LaTeX, at least some of them. Author, surname, address. Address, I'm sure, is supposed to be a street address. I don't give a damn. Welcome to the future.
Author, address, title, and date.
Right. Okay. Author, address, title, and date. Word count is kind of interesting. That's actually, if you can put a number in there, say I have this many words, which actually will come out when you put it in submission format. If you leave it blank, it actually calculates it, doing some kind of weird fuzzy math. It doesn't actually count the words, it does something else. But 30 is something interesting that will come up in novel type manuscripts. 30 means the end of the book. If you leave 30 blank and you're in submission mode, it will put 5 pound signs at the end of the manuscript. Just kind of a little trivia here. So that's the normal format. That's the kind of thing that will get your book rejected. This is why I hate the process. You know, it will get your book rejected if you don't have those 5 little pound signs. And so that's what it does. You can change it to the end, for instance, which originally, early Thicker Than Blood did that. They said the end for non-submission, but I took it out. It's goofy.
Sorry, is
30
cent or something?
I have no idea. There probably is a glorious, wonderful, very British history around it.
I don't know what else.
But basically what it means is, at the very end of the story, it will put whatever you put in those braces. So, and it's the 5 pounds are required for some submissions. It kind of makes sense if your pages are unnumbered, but also submissions typically also have page numbers at the top. One of the things that this class does also is automatically number pages. Oh man, that's great, you know? Yeah, not really. Because sometimes you don't want numbers on pages, so that's something you're going to think about later as you get further into this. So we got a copyright, some rights reserved. By the way, if you're into Creative Commons and you do any Creative Commons work, they get pissed at you if you use some rights reserved with indiscretion. They expect it to actually be Creative Commons to use some rights reserved. That's like their trademark to indicate that. I mean, someone was very polite, but they said, dude, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? So, but you would also could put a traditional copyright number. There's no reason you couldn't. Those are comments, by the way. Those percent signs. So that won't get compiled in. That will not be in the final document, whether it's PDF or HTML, which is another one we can do. Or I don't know if you can do RTF. I think you can do RTF.
Yeah, you can do RTF. It's always help, but you can do it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I actually had really bad luck. I was trying to, I was thinking about generating multiple formats for the book, and you know, originally I focused everything around PDF. There are PDF specific directives, which we'll get to next, but I try to generate an RTF and it's trying to be really bad. And the PDFs actually come out pretty nice to start with. So, so I used a package GraphicX. You can just ignore that for now, but I bet if you think really hard, you can guess what it's used for. Use package float. Apparently that's required for some kinds of calculations for size. Specifically, the next line, geometry. Some of the things that you want to do with geometry, you need float for. No way to know that, I had to tell you. So other than it's up in the docs when you, you know, you're panning through Google searches, you'll find it. So, and the next one is geometry. This one's kind of getting kind of good here. I actually set my margins. I just figured this out like yesterday. You know, so this is actually like Sunday night I figured this out. V margin is 1 inch. I purposely set the vertical margin to 1 inch. It actually isn't 1 inch. It's 1 inch from the text to the edge of the page, not including the page number. So that's why it's so big. It's not really 1 inch, it's more like a half an inch when you count the page number. And if you get any closer than that, there are actually regulations, if you want to get an ISBN for your book, which I'm eventually going to do for this, that don't let you get too close to the edge of the page, unless you do something special called bleed, which is ridiculous because I'm doing a textbook. That's usually used for graphics that go to the edge of the page. Yeah, you didn't want to know all this stuff. It's a good example of the diversity of text. H margin. If you look at that one, notice there's two arguments. It's because it's the measurement on the inside and the measurement on the outside. The cool thing is, if you look carefully at the book, you'll notice that you can't notice it here, but these pages, the text on these pages are not centered. Every other page alters. It goes to, it uses an inside margin and an outside margin. Using this comma format will tell it which margin to do. If you just put a number there, it will center. It will assume you have one margin instead of two. SFMS, the line, quietly does this and you don't even realize what's happening. So I was fine until I wanted to change the margins. And then I went, oh, there's something deeper going on here because this isn't right at all. Because all of a sudden I went from, you know, being, you know, like this, back and forth from page to page to in the center. So.
Is there some way you can justify it?
Right. Well, it's yeah. I mean, basically, you're making a decision about how far from the binding you want the text to be in the center and how far from the edge of the page. And basically, the thumb space and the fold space, the bend space. So, and they're going to be different numbers.
A couple different LaTeX diets will refer to as the inside margin, the outside margin. So inner binding, inner margin, outer margin, mean margin, left margin, right margin, odd margin, they're all basically the same concept.
Right. I have a better idea what an editor does now. I think there's a name for an editor who specifically does the formatting. That's what it is.
Gopher guy.
Copy editor.
Thank you. I didn't know it was a classification. Just didn't know its name. So, which is different than a story and or grammatical spelling editor, which also has its own. If they have several, sometimes it's the same person. Okay. So, also here I use something called PDF text. Well. Let me tell you the tale of tech and what happened here. Originally, I found out from one of the people in the group who is not here tonight, I wanted to give a hat tip to, but that there is a really great, that I he had suggested that I set up a table of contents. As it turns out, there is a package out there that will set up a table of contents for you. But when you stop and think about it, A table of contents can create all kinds of problems. SFMS in its infinite wisdom, its default is to not consider any chapters. I'm sorry, it considers every single chapter break and puts the table of contents. I think I might have that back. I think it doesn't consider anything but the unnamed chapter or the
if it's unnamed, it won't include it.
Thank you. We're gonna have to fast forward a little bit because I have to give you the background. If you just look at the very bottom of the first page, the line above the last line, it says /chapter*, curly brace, curly brace. That's special. What that actually means is I want a new chapter, but I don't want it to be a numbered chapter. But non-numbered chapters don't show up in the table of contents. But if you have 12 pages of junk at the beginning of the book, you know, you might want to leave those in your table of contents, you know, your title, and if you're going to name these. In this case, I didn't name this chapter, but other chapters I did. And on top of that, some PDF viewers incorrectly display the table of contents that comes stocked with LaTeX. So I ended up having to use a PDF package. Yes, this is very hacky. You know, this is like people just let this stuff go. There's actually a bug report into Ubuntu using the book and the LaTeX file up on the net saying, hey, there's a bug in this. It shows double chapters. One of the viewers in Linux shows double chapters, but it's the only one. Everything else will, because the problem is some PDF viewers will auto-generate a table of contents, but I also tell it to generate and show a table of contents. So in that case of that viewer, it did both. So there's two entries for each entry in the table of contents, which is functional, but aesthetically unpleasing. And that still stands, right? Because it's a bug. All right. So this is pretty straightforward. Name, title, you know, my subject. Although I think the PDF subject is actually used somewhere in the PDF file, but I'd be darned if I remember where.
It's part of just the metadata.
Right. Yeah.
It goes into the background of the we'll use it.
Yeah. Maybe there's a reader out there somewhere that uses it. But. Color links fold. Great. Is.
Okay, color links is, for example, if you include URLs in your work, Adobe is notorious for doing this, it'll just automatically convert it into a URL. And
right, okay, that's right.
URL, it colors it blue, which is ugly as hell.
Right, I actually wanted to have functioning URLs in the beginning of the book, so that people, because there's a page where it's just basically, it says, this book can always be found at thickerthanbloodandbook.com. And I wanted that URL to actually work so people would click on it in case they somehow got the book through magic and had no idea where my website was. Type into Google and get in the first page. Now, yes! But, underneath that, after I set the settings for the URLs, we've got the paper width and the paper height. I'm not really sure why I set that.
Probably to override the original one.
Right, over the original, that's right, because I knocked out, we had this discussion before, I knocked out the original geometry package, and I edited this. This is the thing that actually tells it to compile in 6x9 format, which is what in turn lets Lulu actually put the book in a 6x9 format. So. So that's very interesting. If you ever bring a PDF over to Lulu, you've got to figure out what format it's in and then try to print it in the book that's at the format, unless you're willing to or know how to reformat the PDF to come up as a different, which is probably not as easy as you think. One of the things you see when LaTeX is working is it will be printing out line by line. If it overruns a word in a line, it has to figure out what to do. Do I hyphenate? Do I move that to the next line? You know, in the case of SFMS, it never hyphenates. So this book, which was before I set margins, doesn't hyphenate. Later, the newer book, the book that's up there now, does hyphenate. because I wanted to save space, because I wanted to save money. This guy here is actually worth $17, was $13 cost. The one that's up there now is $8 cost. And the really, the one thing that was keeping me from self-publishing was the cost. I didn't want it to be expensive because I figured I couldn't compete with well-known science fiction authors unless I was at least close to their price. And people would be understanding it was print on demand. $12.98 is close to their price. $17 is not close to their price for a beginning paper book. So it's a little tighter. But the good thing is I was able to use this to kind of jam it into space. All right. So we've already discussed now. This is good. This is probably the first. I think this is the first time in this text that you've seen the slash new page. Slash new page forces a new page, no question text, which is actually really bad practice in the content of your document, but not bad at the beginning and the end. If when you need to say, I don't care what the hell's going on, we need to start a new page right here. You know, sometimes there's regulations or you make decisions about what has to be on a page and that's it. You don't want it to wrap, so then we don't have to start a new chapter. In this case, what I did with the new page is, notice the order here, new page, then PDF bookmark, then chapter. So that's how I got the PDF bookmarks to link to the very beginning of the chapter. Because what would happen is if you didn't do that new page ahead of it, it would link to the end, to the middle of the chapter, or the end of the chapter, which is, I don't understand why. It would start you, if you clicked on the PDF bookmark, it would start you in the middle of at the end of the first page, which was a little bizarre. I didn't really get it. As far as I can tell, it's a bug.
Page that, but it is a bug.
It is a bug.
It's actually more of a feature.
It is?
Yeah.
How's it a feature?
Because it's actually doing the correct thing.
Right, it is.
But,
okay. Well, you know, I just kind of assume I'm stupid with these things, and then just, you know, put some duct tape on it and run.
Just wait on the PDF reader.
Right. You know, I probably just didn't understand the problem, but this seemed like a legitimate way to solve it. Yes.
It is.
I hear that there's a way to create a hypertext link that goes into the middle of the PDF document someplace. You can actually place an anchor in a PDF document.
Tony.
Yeah. You know how to do it? The bookmark thing?
Yeah,
it's, well, that's what these are.
Level table tag.
These will correlate to a table of contents on the left. And when you click on each of the items in the table of contents, it will go to wherever that PDF bookmark is.
Right, but you know how URLs you'll have http://whatever.
Right.
And then there'll be a pound on the end, and then the name of an anchor within the document.
Right.
Can you do that?
That's
directly to chapter 2?
That's yes. Exactly what this is doing. This is that. I just described it to you. Yes?
When it comes to PDF bookmark, does it go only to the start of the chapter? Can it go to any word in the chapter?
You can put a PDF bookmark anywhere you want. So, you know, if you have a good sex scene, you know, you could just have a table of contents with the best, and it just says the best part. You click on the best part, vroom, or the best part at the end, you know, vroom, vroom, and then that's it. So, you know, if you wanted to do it for humor value, you know, but it's a good example. You can put it anywhere. Same way you could put a web page with a pencil and HTML.
You create slash chapter and then name the chapter, and that's your bookmark?
Yep, and that text is used for the PDF bookmark contents is used in the bookmark itself. So in the it's called title page. In the table of contents. And like I said, all PDF readers I've seen honor, if there's PDF bookmarks, it ignores the table of contents. I mean, I shut that off anyway. But, you know, I'm sorry.
The generic way to do it is you put in, there are two commands, very much like the AHREF, the A name, you can set a place, a bookmark within tech using, I believe it's the slash label command. And then you can label certain words, or you can label blank, and that would be a generic bookmark. Like in URL, you have pound, and then name your link.
I see.
And then at the end, you could put, you know, your reference point. So if you want to, for example, go back to something you said three paragraphs earlier, you would do slash ref, the key name of your label, and when you click it and you go through PDF tech or text it into PDF,
right,
it will take you back to that location. So that's the bookmarking scheme. It goes both ways.
Watch me segue off the segue. And I know that there's a whole group of commands specifically having to do with references. So don't be tempted to just set up references with PDF bookmarks alone, because there's actually a way to indicate in LaTeX references. And that may work, but this is actually, this PDF bookmark stuff was a reaction to an undesired behavior in the table of contents. You know, I also needed it because I needed it for the URL stuff, but, you know, if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't have bothered with this, but there's also references, and that may work exactly as you expect. This is reference tags, that's the whole thing.
Just one last advantage I forgot to provide. You actually have the, you can also include in the tech document a package that will create an index for you. So if all that labor of looking through a book, looking for keywords, and writing down what page they're on, if you use the references and label commands, it'll calculate it for you before it renders everything as a final PDF, and it will generate your index. So it takes a lot of headache out of that process.
Right. And the cool thing, you know, I know this seems like, I mean, you may be reading through this with me, and like, oh my god, this is so tedious and sucky. But you know, it's just awesome when I'm on, you know, like when I said, when I'm on Hulu, and I'm stuck, and there's some dumb thing wrong that isn't making it look quite right. I figure it out, and I go in there, I go, SCP, upload. Hulu is upload much longer. Enter, new book. So, you know, most people, this is a great thing about being a Linux geek and an author at the same time. Most people cannot. Most people would be like, okay, send it to the publisher. Wait 3 months. You know, so, you know, this combination of things, you know, the combination of using something like LaTeX, you know, open source LaTeX, and using printing on demand, you know, it's not the strongest or the fastest. It's the most adaptive to change. They can change their website a lot. So, keep up. So, so let's see. So we got another one that chapter I described to you before. Now this is the title page we're on. And we're going to breeze through this quicker now because some of this is going to be repetitive. Oh, look at that. Begin single space. So actually, I chose to use single space to keep this all in one big block. Typically, remember what I was telling you about having a blank line with an enter on it? That's the normal way. That's like a paragraph tag in HTML, and that's the normal expected way that you're going to separate sections of text. But in this case, it wasn't appropriate because it's an address. And basically, a formal mailing address and a web address grouped together. So I told it to go single space. The default in tech is double space. Space paragraphs. So. All right, so this is all pretty straightforward. The begin, when you center things, or you left align things or right align things, you're not going to tell it slash center. You actually tell it slash begin, the thing you wanted to do, slash end, the thing you wanted it to do. So, and of course, just like any markup language, if these get really nested, you can be confused, and that's the kind of thing that will make LaTeX go totally wonky when you try to work them out. Now here, after that area where we have n single space in the top block up there, you have something kind of interesting here. We have something no submit. And that this is the thing I was talking about with the submission format or not. I did not want to have my web address, an email address in the submission format. Not because I don't want them to know what they are, but just because it's expected that you won't do that. So all the stuff that is my thank yous and the information that I thought was important to the book, but isn't part of the formal editing process, is in a no submit. So when I want to change that, right up at the very top of the first page, I just change non-submission to submission, and all that stuff gets excluded. So, and there are plenty of things like that in LaTeX, which is one of the reasons you want to hunt around a little bit for the library that's going to do the thing that you want it to. So I didn't do anything. Actually, yeah, this is kind of cool. Of course, we have a lot of nesting here. We begin center, so it's centered. /large. I don't know why it's capital.
Because it's larger than large. That gives you two steps larger.
I forgot. I've done so much stuff in here, I've forgotten what some of it is. Also, I wanted it bold, so it's text bold font.
Bold face.
And then after that, we have href, which is part of the
URL.
URL pack. No, it's part of the PDF package, isn't it?
Should be part of the URL package as well.
I think maybe URL gets included as part of PDF. This kind of threw me. Yeah, I think it is. Because if you look, I mean, this all works, so there is no URL package mentioned.
In that case, it's part PDF.
Right. PDF tech. I think it gets included as part of PDF, and that's why it works. It wouldn't work if PDF wasn't in there. So you'd have to separately declare a URL. Alright, so, and there's another href, you get that picture now. Again, you see, after that, you see another new page, bookmark version. And again, notice PDF bookmark is 0. That means I don't want a numbered chapter on it. I think. I actually don't know that, what that 0 is. Because I didn't include any text where the chapter actually has a number other than 0. I have chapter 0, which doesn't help. Okay. I'm pretty sure that you number the chapters with that. So if you put 0, that it just it considers it an unnumbered chapter. With the exception of the one here that actually says chapter 0. Because it says chapter 0. Sorry. Anyway. So we have comments here, delimitation here. And then there's something, I use another tag we haven't seen yet. You add vspace dot 0.5 IN. So IN is the abbreviation. And basically I'm just saying add 0.5 inches, because this didn't look good without that. Yeah, if we scroll down the reading. If you look down a little more, we have acknowledgments. Lots of people, including Milo, thank you. Dedication to my wife. If you ever write anything like a book, dedicate to your wife.
That's the place ever.
If you get hurt, just do it. I love you, hon. Okay. We have a quote here. And then the book actually starts. So if you notice here, we have end no submit. So there's just a random curly brace with a comment in front of it, so I know what the hell it is. Of course, you don't have to do that, so you can easily shoot yourself in the foot. I think I missed something. There was graphics in here. Oh, right, I removed the graphics from this. There was one more interesting thing that's missing from here. I think it might actually be, what?
TTB-cover2.png, two lines from the bottom on the second page.
Two lines from the bottom on the second page.
Or was it the third page?
The third page. Right. Removed from the Lulu version. Yay! I put it in. Even I do not know how I work in mysterious ways. So we have a PDF bookmark cover, and this is normally in the book, on the web version. But of course, it doesn't really make sense because they give you a special dialogue to enter your graphics in. By the way, if you ever do have somebody generate graphics for you for a book, the resolutions on Lulu are ridiculously high. So don't accept low resolution images. So this is actually, it just happens that it's so high, this is actually approximated down and it still looks good. So it was actually just blown up. It's just, the image just was sourced from half its size, half its resolution. So I still look good. So I still get out of the graphics. Right, so you have this thing here. Now, I bet you're kind of wondering, it says include graphics with 30 em, and then it tells you what ping it's going to use. This is actually, you can measure things in letters. And in this case, I did that because it worked I was able to get the biggest fill on the page of the graph. There's no way to, there's probably a way, now that I know the terminology, to bleed the image to the edges, but I don't know what it is yet. So I'll have to, that will probably show up.
Which I know too.
Yeah, yeah, because it's delimited in M's here, and it should really be bled to the edge, so I'm gonna go look that up probably. They'll, eventually one day you'll download the book and you'll go, oh, look, you figured out how to bleed it to the edges, and then go check out the source file. By the way, revision control on a book of the size, I don't have any current revision control other than a giant pile of files, which completely sucks. If you ever get into any kind of document with this level of complexity, you want revision control, because I think that's probably my next step after I finish fighting the book. Basically, I'm asking people to buy the book, check it out, see if they find anything wrong. In a few weeks, when I don't get any, oh my God, what'd you do? And then I'm gonna buy an ISBN for it. It's gonna be two covers, so I gotta get the second cover up there. At that point, that process will be done, and then probably the next step is to go to revision control. So the book will go up in revision control, mainly so I can accept edits from nerds in nerdy formats. I'm thinking seriously about using Git. So even though it is just one file, but there have been 37 versions of the book with all the assorted edits that I've received and uploaded. So
another way to do it.
So anybody who's criticizing the book, this is just for the record if you're watching the video, that's a lot of people that spotted a lot of errors that you can't be possibly be that good. So
at least not getting out checks for $2.56.
Right.
The other possibility is when you're doing documents of this scale, you can always break your files down. So you can put one chapter into one file, another chapter into another text file, another chapter into another, and then pull the whole together using file inclusion.
Right. It's pretty unruly working with the text in a single file. That's why I actually do that.
Yeah.
Current book, and I did this with the last book too, I write each chapter as a separate text file and then concatenate them in.
It's also good if you, for example, want to write something in source code where you have to have a backslash, where the curly braces have meaning or significance, like a C code or anything like that. You put it into its own file, and you can call that using a verbatim package. And we'll format everything so it looks properly like source code. But versioning is absolutely necessary.
Right.
Leave tracks everywhere.
Yeah, again, assuming, in the thing that I put some to the lilac list, I mentioned a few reasons why you would want to use LaTeX. And that's particularly true for the I have a really long thing reason. Maybe not so true as I want to write a bunch of documents that have exactly the same format but just the content changes. So in that case, maybe you don't need revision control. But in the case of a really long thing, you definitely want it because you're going to regret it otherwise. I'm beginning to regret it and I'm pretty organized. So, I think, all right, there's one thing left. At the very end, there is, and I actually discovered a bug because I was giving this talk. I wish this is the thing I wanted the projector for. I wish I could show you. You may not have ever realized it before, but when you read books, when you see double quotes, they're typically turned in. There is no ASCII character for double quotes turned in. So what you have to do is give tech a special signal that you want to use double quotes going in the other direction. It's a double hash. It's a double single quote. But wait, it gets better. You don't want to just put that everywhere because then all you do is just turn them the other way. So you have to figure out how to do every other one. Now, as it turns out, there is something in Novel apparently that will do this. But I still use this because I still use separate text processing on this, and this is something that may come up. One of the ideas I've started toying with is to actually begin trying to come up with a common mistakes grammar scripting kind of thing for myself, mistakes I keep making. And this actually catches one of them. If you run your text file through a processor, it will catch mistakes and let you know a quote is missing. Because you'll get to the end of the book and the quote will be like this, instead of like this. So And it's easy enough to eyeball it. And as it turns out, it's actually an enormous visual cue, especially with smaller text, which is why it's important to go. I have to get up early tomorrow, so I probably won't do it tonight, but maybe tomorrow night I'll go up and make this next change. But please, go ahead and buy the book anyway. It's going to be a few changes, so just go ahead. It's totally readable, so I don't want to discourage you. But basically, has anybody here, how many people here know what Flex is? Oh, this is cool. I'm about to introduce you to something really awesome. Basically, Flex is a very, very simple, super high-level meta language that you use to perform, to generate C code to perform simple tasks. In this case, every other quote has to be changed to this. To the double single quote. So that code you see right there, now that I described it, there's really nothing to it.
I thought you meant Adobe Flex.
It's a Flex Bison. It's actually a GNU info page about how they're generating, turn it into a book. But particularly Flex in this case. And it will generate a C source code file, which you then in turn have to compile, which you then in turn, now you have a program which specifically just meant to go to a text file and change its quotes. And then you go in there and go, oh God, when you realize that your quotes are doing this, and then this, and then this, and then this, and you have to identify each spot where you, but it's actually not that hard to do visually, so, and there will be other things like this, so there's gonna be more of these in the future. Try to do it in Perl, couldn't figure out how to do it in less than like 30 minutes. You know, that like basically loading stuff in and then processing it and then unloading it. So you gotta check it out. It's pretty awesome. It generates about 300 lines of C. So, yes?
All right, I'm gonna explain what happened. You didn't read the manual, that's why. When you put quotes have special meaning. Tech is gonna interpret it however it can. It's going to take it by context, and of course computers don't understand context with spit. If you want to set up typographer's quotes, which are curved ones, there are two different keys. One is the tilde key, the one that never gets used by most people, up in the corner of the keyboard. That is actually the turned in key. So if you want to open a quote, you press that twice, you get your opening quote. You hit it once, you get, you know, for example, 5 o'clock, that turned quote after the O, that's the key you want to use. You want to say, you know, don't, that end quote is your apostrophe key. So what you did is use double quote character, even though you should have been doing double tildes for double.
Right, and this kind of, this stems from my lack of wisdom about it. Well, I was determined.
Learning by doing, basically.
Because I had a nerd, actually Tom Rothenfeld, who told me that you don't need to do anything. All you need to do is do paragraph work. So I was determined to see if that was true. It turns out it's
so
not
close,
exactly true.
But no cigar.
It's so close, but not no cigar. And actually, I did figure that out. I did figure out later on how to. There's also another way where you can take double quotes. I don't know if you know this, but a novel is a way you can take double quotes and do exactly what I'm doing with Flex and just tell it just every other quote. You know, I change my quotes into surrounding quotes. And assuming you have an even number of quotes.
That's a big assumption.
Yeah, that's a big assumption. It will work.
The caveat is, write, for example, umlauts, you have to have a quote. So there's your odd number of quotes immediately.
Right.
The slash umlaut and then put the paragraph.
And I guess that's the final theme of LaTeX is that, you know, there are many ways it's getting happier. So don't assume that, you know, I mean, I've already gone over two ways of doing table of contents. We discussed two ways of doing quotes. There's two ways to pull up novel-like assumptions about your document, you know, either novel or using a separate class, and it makes all kinds of assumptions for you. So, whatever it is you want to do, it is a vast, vast world out there. Like I said, more or less the entire scientific community has used this at one point or another. So, it's pretty big. And probably a good chunk of the publishing industry, too, although you may not see it. And I think that's it. Any questions?
When you
upload stuff to Lulu, you upload the raw code and then verify it that way?
They want a PDF. They'll also take an RTF, but I would recommend using PDF, especially since you have this.
Yeah, compile it.
You have to compile it, yeah, they won't. I have, like I said, I have, now that I have, you know, I'm probably like, it seems like I'm the only person in the universe who's actually like, well, I shouldn't say that. I'm one of only like 1% of the LaTeX users that are actually willing to share their source content up on the net. Even though I know there's a lot of stuff being generated with it, because I've seen it firsthand in the laboratory, that nobody puts this stuff up. See, it's hard to find sample tech stuff, but every time I file a bug report or talk to somebody or offer them up a tech file, I mean, they'd be like, yeah, all right, I run WLS to an apt-get install and run this thing, compile this thing and generate the PDF and see, and then start changing things and see where our code went wrong. They've just, I've got crickets. So apparently the guys doing websites don't know how to do this. I don't know what that means. Or they don't care, they don't want it to. But yeah, they want PDF up there. And that's probably, almost definitely the best way.
I know it just works with text. Is there a way to take an existing, like a open office file, and bring it back down to text, and put it into text this way? Is there a way to, like, downgrade to upgrade again?
No.
Probably.
Or let it extract to text?
No.
Probably not. Because if you think about what a word processor is really doing, you really have finite pages of document, your content and your code having to do with how to display the content are embedded character by character with each other.
So you can save the text and then start from scratch.
Now, not really. Because word processing has more to do with page layout and page design as much as it does what you're writing about. Whereas text separates, this is the functionality of what I'm saying and this is how it's supposed to look.
Which is why you more or less can just write it in a text editor.
You start with text, basically, right?
Right. Yeah, and I can make changes in, like, I can change one word and the entire document changes and looks good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I'll show you an example of something that a word processor can't do that text will handle.
If you
try to copy between two, it's never going to work.
Oh, that actually reminds me. I forgot at the very. Oh, I also didn't mention that you have the entire book in bunnies here. The book passes, and at the very end, we have something where it says page style empty. This is another little Luluism. As it turns out, it's not really a Luluism to pick on them, it's a publishing industry-ism. If you have a book with an ISBN number generated from any kind of file, the file must have a blank page at the end. So I was, originally I put my book up, and a little link is supposed to come up and say, give me an ISBN, and you pay them, and they give you an ISBN. It didn't come up. And they say, look at the reasons why it may not have come up, and they give you a list of reasons. And then I spot it, and they're like, no blank page at the end. And they, if you do that, they want to add four pages on the end. Apparently that's some kind of industry practice. They just dump a bunch of pages on the end. I don't know why.
For printing.
Well, right. But why not just one? I mean, if you need one for the ISBN rule, just put one.
If you make a web printing, it's a quarter, so they have to fold it.
Right.
That's
why. It's when you bind a book together, it's bound and bundles.
Right, but the end result is it would cost more money for the reader.
They don't care.
No, it depends.
It has to fit.
Well, damn it, I'm going to make my source PDF have one blank page, and then they don't have to pay more for the pages that they printed that I don't need. Well, this is the beauty of having the source code and being able to tweak it that little with this. So, any other questions?
Did you bother to use any of the math mode commands?
I did not use any of the math mode commands other than include float to make graphics work with that. And with the one other thing. One other thing I needed. But I did not. I thought briefly about coming up here and doing a brief math mode demonstration and thought, I mean, people already struggle to keep, to like not be bored to death in this implementation, so go for it. There's math, use math, / use math, and then you can go from there.
So I just want to sign it.
Yeah. Any other questions? Comments? Great. So thank you very much. If I'm holding the book up here, so you can check it out if you want. If you buy it, it's fine. It's already, like I said, it's already close to the margins, and it's already, but you get an idea of the quality.